Hello and welcome to the Playground Podcast. I'm Chris Byrne and I'm your host for this series of conversations about the toy industry. The Playground Podcast is supported by global toy experts, The Toy Guy, Beacon Media Group, and the Hong Kong Trade Development Council.
In January 2024, the HKTDC Hong Kong Toys and Games Fair presents its 50th edition, and it will be a major destination for the international toy business. Highlighting innovative play, the fair provides a world-class platform for building business in Asia and around the globe. This is the place to showcase the latest toys and reach global buyers in person or online through the click-to-match platform. It's an event you won't want to miss. Find out more at hktdc.com/event/HKToyFair. We have a great show today. We are talking with Joost Paulus, who is the Chief Product Officer for Moose Toys. What a great job. Joost, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Chris. It's been a lifelong dream.
Yes, there's that wonderful Australian dry humor that you have going there. I just have one tip for you. Dream bigger.
Yeah. There's been a number of other, I think, Moosies who have had the pleasure, and so it's very nice to get the chance to have a chat about toys to you.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I really want to talk a little bit about the whole concept of creative and certainly innovation, because that's a big buzzword in the business right now. But why don't you start out telling me a little bit about your history and how you ended up at Moose?
Yeah, sure. So I started, I've been at Moose now 22, 23 years, so quite a long time. When I started at Moose, the company was pretty small. It was 9 or 10 staff in total. I came from a product design engineering background, and my fourth year of my course was what they call industry-based learning. So that's basically work experience. I was the runt of the litter in my class. I was the last person to get a placement. Most people went into the automotive industry, and that wasn't something that greatly interested me. I've always loved toys. I had the toy room when I was growing up. I had everything from Star Wars to Kenner, all the types of Kenner toys, Mask, Muscle, Lego, Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe. So I loved toys, but I never knew I wanted to be a toy designer. And then one day the university rang me up, and I was sitting there without a placement, and they said, look, there's this toy company that's out in Abbotsford, which is closer to the city from where I am, and they're looking for someone with more of an engineering background, more of a technical background. And so I jumped at that. I started with a six-month placement, and then as a product designer, and then the rest is history.
In your function as Chief Product Officer, what do you do? What do you oversee? What's your role?
Sure. So I oversee basically the design and development process from end to end. Being from down under, we do things a little bit differently. The toilets swirl differently down under, and the way we've grown up as a toy company is a little bit different. And there's lots of great stuff about that, because it allows us to think differently and approach things differently and react differently to different situations. I oversee what we call design and development. Now, that is typically the biggest team there. Now, we're a company now of around 700, just under 700 staff. We've got a large proportion of that is design and development, the teams that I oversee. That's probably 150 to 180 staff globally. Those team members are, you know, a lot of design, typical design packaging. And we have, you know, product managers and coordinators that help through all that process across a number of different levels, of course. And then we have engineering, which reports through quality, which reports through what we call an arm of creative services, a large team that helps us sort of execute all the creative work, lets the creatives do the creative. And then we have an innovation team and inventor relations, which is obviously another very important arm. So all of those teams sort of report through, and they're teams that reside globally across 5 or 6 different regions.
And within all of that, you have a lot of toys that you make and a lot of different disciplines and a lot of different things. And I wanted to talk a little bit about innovation, because that is one of the buzzwords that we're hearing so often in the toy industry now. we're innovating, we're doing this. And what does that mean for you and for Moose? Because it's kind of like, be more innovative. It's like telling me to, you know, have greener eyes. It can be a buzzword and one that loses its meaning or becomes a marketing tool. But you really, but to be successful, you really have to innovate. So what does innovation mean at Moose?
Yeah, great question. I mean, words, as you say, words like innovation and disruption are thrown around pretty loosely, and they probably mean different things to different companies. As you alluded to, it's, I think in our opinion, you can enhance innovation or the way to be innovative and to think creatively, but in a way, you either have it or you don't. And I think the great thing about Moose from the very beginnings when we were developing very simple product lines, you know, when I started here, it was traditional products like bubbles and hula hoops and skipping ropes and very simple toys, but we did it with a unique twist. And so anyway, that was innovation. Now, as you know, we've come leap years ahead to something like a Magic Mixies cauldron, which is possibly one of the most innovative toys in the last 5 years, 10 years, and a vastly different level of complexity, from complex mechanisms to plush to electronics to you know, really, really cool and high-tech features. So innovation to us, again, it all comes down to how we define that. And we really define that in a few different areas. One is, and we loosely call it, because it is something that's hard to bottle, it's how we bring the wow to kids. And the wow to kids can be in the awe factor, in how they react to a toy. It can be in how they engage with the toy. It can be in emotional attachment to the toy. It can be the theater around the process that you create. So really having the child engaged in that toy, and that can happen in from a battling toy like Arcado, where they live out the battle and they play their role model, whether that's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or there's other really cool licenses there that we're working on, or that could be a Magic Mixies where you feel a part of the process as you place these ingredients into the cauldron and you stir the cauldron and you tap the cauldron, and then eventually you have been a part of creating this magical Mixie character. So for us, again, it's very hard to bottle and sum up, but for us, innovation is that. Now, when we talk about our BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal, which is our mission, our 12-year plan, our ambition is to be the most innovative toy company in the world. Again, I think it's really important. It's very easy for someone to say that. And when we look at our competitors, and all very, you know, a lot of respect for all of them, most of them, those that are above us have very well-established historical brands. They're very, very focused purely on entertainment. And sometimes that can lead to less of a need for true innovation. While we love licensed brands like Bluey, which is a behemoth for us and a really big focus, and following that with additional licensed and preschool bands is really key, adding innovation to them as a cornerstone is critical. And that's how we think we'll win in that space. For us to be crowned as the most innovative toy company, we've got four very clear metrics. The first one is about our people and culture, really important to us. And we partner with a company called Great Places to Work, who do really cool surveys with our staff, anonymous. And they basically give us great feedback and help us improve the culture, the environment, and the world in which our Moosies sort of live when they come to work. Our goal there is to be a top 10 listed Great Places to Work company in all of our direct-to-retail offices. That's number one. Number two is we class, you know, phenom hits. We class them, and what we call them is wow hits. Long story short, they're something we're super passionate about, and we want to have twice as many wow hits as our nearest competitor at the end of our BHAG. Number three is we want to have, again, really big and hairy one. We want to have four brands in the top 25 as per Circana data or old NPD data. And number four is we want to be a top five global toy company. So all four of those individually, big and hairy certainly, That's something, though, that the whole company is certainly aware of, engaged in, and on the path to help us deliver.
And I think that's really impressive, because we hear about innovation a lot, and you have now a metric or a mechanism for quantifying that, and that is really impressive.
As you say, we didn't want to be one of those companies that just talks about innovation. We hear people probably pumping up our tires saying that you're the most innovative toy company in the world. I think we want to make sure that there is no disputing that. And therefore, the way to do that is to have, as you say, clear metrics, to measure them over time, to give feedback to the team of where we can improve and get better. And then to, most importantly, make sure that when we look back in now 12 years' time, that we've achieved that goal. But that's what we're all marching towards and confident we can hit. And you do it by going back to where we started, this part of the answer to the question. You do it by creating amazing, innovative toys for your consumers, for kids. And it's the response and the engagement and the awe factor and the wow that they get from those toys.
One of the things you mentioned that I really responded to, not surprisingly, is you talked about the theater that you create. And that is really a wonderful way of talking about the play experience for a child, that it becomes part narrative, part engagement, part expression. And there's all different ways that you can do that. And those are the wow moments. I think you've also talked about magic moments in the past. Things that do that. And it's different for every toy. I mean, Beast Lab, your hit for this year, when that beast is revealed and the steam comes out, and that's a wow moment, because as with the Magic Mixie, you've engaged the child in actually, quote unquote, making the beast.
Yeah. Yeah, everything from Beast Lab and the cauldron, which I talked about, but it even extends to brands like Shopkins. You know, we were one of the first to really create that girls collectible craze, and it was that unboxing, and that was one of the first to really hit it big on YouTube. And that was theater as well. That was kids on, you know, when they were unboxing Shopkins on screen to have, you know, and the way we do our, you know, our pretty much scientific method of our matrixing and unboxing and creating the chase, for a little girl to find that rare diamond Shopkin is theater. It's just the amount of emotion and role play and storytelling, and that they're creating their own mind, is critical. And something like Beast Lab, you mentioned, which is a hot toy for us this year, a big new moose built IP. It is theater. And, you know, the moment I've said it to a number of people, the moment I love, and it speaks directly to that theater. Yes, there's the putting in of the shark's tooth and putting in of the DNA and putting in the skin of the beast you're about to create. But the moment that I love is when the fluid in the flask drains away and there's complete silence from the audience, because I've seen this multiple times with kids and adults. There's complete silence and focus on this flask. And then when the beast comes to life and the heartbeat and the lights start pumping, that's theater. You know, and it's talking about bottling things before, that's sort of putting it all in a flask. Right. But it is really cool to see that. And I've seen the reaction on my kids' faces and on other kids' faces. We do lots of focus groups to prove out our toys. And the reaction is priceless.
And that will probably hit that metric that you want. But not all lines will do that. Sure. So you have to keep the innovation going in your smaller lines, which can create a base year in, year out business as well, that gives you the pockets to develop those toys. How do you approach all of those?
Well, I think business evolves over time. And if we go back to pre-Shopkins or Trash Pack was a big brand for us, your eyes get bigger and eventually your stomach gets bigger, and you can have more of a capacity and capability to develop bigger and bigger brands. The reality is, we go into nearly every new brand. And as a company, we over-index in regards to newness and new brands, because it is something we are so passionate about, is creating new IP and really developing brands that stand up on the world stage versus other brands that, you know, have maybe significant content support. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But we really do go in with every brand we create with the ambition of creating a wow hit. That's our benchmark of a toy that we create. But the reality is, as you say, not every brand is going to achieve that. And that's fine. I think you can have a brand in that 25 to 75, and as long as it's consistent and in line with the resource it takes to develop it, that's fine. But our goal is always to get it into that sort of wow hit sort of stratosphere. And then we'll manage brands accordingly, depending on where they actually, what level they attain.
And for the moment, we've been talking about your own IP. And one of the things that Moose has done as it's grown has been to bring that level of magic and innovation to licenses. You mentioned Bluey before. You do a great job with Bluey. And you've got something coming up that you can tell me a little bit about that's not been revealed.
Yeah, I've just been warned that I can't say as much as I'd like to say, but but it's really important for us, and it's been a big focus as a company over the last 5 to 8 years to really focus and hone in on licensed and preschool properties. And there are some there that, of course, we look to over time build ourselves. But then, of course, there's always great third-party content providers and producers. And Bluey's a great example where obviously we have a very close affinity with Bluey being an Australian company and it's an Australian content. But the way we approach licenses and how we think we can win, and we've always got to approach it of how we can be better than the competition, is really to innovate. And many companies see licensing as the answer to a product line, and therefore maybe there's the option there of producing a basic product line that will survive on the license. I think we see it very differently. Our staple is innovation, and the license will only improve the ability for that innovation to succeed. And we do have something really cool coming out in I can't talk about the line in general, but in Despicable Me 4. And that's a great example of us taking a line, awesome movies. We're really excited about Despicable Me 4 and taking a line which has been good in the past and making it great. And that's how we've managed to convince licensors that we're the go-to company for these properties, is because when they look at the hero toys, and we've got something exceptionally funny, exceptionally well-priced with loads of innovation coming out in time for the movie next year. When we look at that, it's not an either or in regards to a license or innovation. It's definitely both. And we've managed to achieve that with that line.
And that's a unique challenge, because when I started in this industry, the way that we had the Sesame Street license at Child Guidance, and the way we did licensing was we took an established product and slapped a Sesame Street license sticker on it. Then it was a Sesame Street toy. You can't get away with that any longer.
No, I don't think so. And look, many, as you say, things evolve over time, and there may be licensors that are happy with that. But more and more the feedback we get from the top content producers is they don't just want a label slap, as you say. They want true innovation. And it is a challenge. One, you've got to be able to come up with the innovation, and that's something that obviously we are passionate about and known for. But you've got to be able to do that, number one. But then you've got to be able to be super creative at how you do that at a good price point. So it is a challenge, but that's what we're all about.
One of the things my late co-host, Richard Gottlieb, would have wanted me to ask you, and so I'm going to ask you this in honor to him. He was fascinated by corporate cultures. And at the beginning of your 4 points, you mentioned your people was number one. How do you foster a culture of innovation within your company to drive that kind of crazy off-the-wall idea and support that among your people?
There's a few points there, but number one, you've got to do things differently. And I mentioned earlier that you know, we are from down under, and we do things differently. And we've always had a slightly different structure. You know, 80% of our structure is probably similar to most toy companies, but 20% is different. And a big part of that is certain creative roles and teams within the business that work hand in hand with your typical design roles, packaging roles, etc., and they really foster and drive innovation. So not only do we have super creative people across all positions within the design and development team. But then we have auxiliary functions that help support and drive that creativity even further. So I think that's really important. I think the second thing is everyone needs to understand that if you want to be the best of the best, and that is our goal, certainly in regards to innovation, as I've stated, it's not easy. It comes with real challenges, and it comes with people asking hard questions constantly throughout the process. And that results in sometimes having to change direction or modify the product concept or tweak with the model or go back to square one. So I think what we're doing, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And what we're doing is not easy to be the best in the world. And that's our goal. It's the best in the world at toys, at innovation. It is hard work, but if you get the right people with the understanding that that's the expectation, which everyone's clear on the goal here at Moose, and then you get the right people on the bus that are in for that journey, that's how you can succeed. So it's about clear expectations, clear goals, and then, as always, and I loved it from day one, it's all about work hard and play hard. So it's about working really hard to achieve those goals, but also having fun with people at work and creating a really good work environment. If you look at our offices from Melbourne to China to Hong Kong to LA and now Vietnam and all across the globe and in the UK, you can walk into any office and there's a great phrase that was introduced to me that when you walk into the Moose office, you can smell the atmosphere, you can smell the culture. You can feel it as soon as you walk in, and that's just the energy and the vibe that has been created. And that's a testament to the three owners of the company that have really imbued that in all staff from day one, and that's filtered through the organization.
I'm going to ask you now the question that we've asked everybody on season 5 of the Playground podcast. Who is the person or the people who have most influenced you as you've developed into your role as Chief Creative Officer for Moose?
Wow, you didn't give me a heads up on that question. It's an interesting question. You know, unlike many others in the toy industry, I've had one toy company I've worked for. You know, not that I would want to go anywhere else. I'm super passionate about what we're doing. There's not this huge toy industry in Australia like there is in America, and there's not people that move around from company to company. So it's a slightly different environment here. But I have one company. I mean, there would be no doubt that of recent times there would be others that have come and influenced me, and we've had some really good talent that has come in from the US or the UK or Europe to Melbourne. There's been a lot of influences there, but undoubtedly it's been the three owners of the company, and all for probably different reasons. So Manny, Jackie and Paul, who I've worked with now for 22 years, pretty much from the start, for all different reasons, they probably had the most impact on me. Whether that's super creative Jackie, who's creative director of the girls team, still involved there, and the passion she has for toys and for doing things differently is incredible and hasn't changed over 22 years. Paul, who again, an unbelievably disruptive thinker, really, really incredible at building relationships at a high level and really thinking about the future and the big picture. I think you can't underestimate how incredibly important that's been for the growth of the company. And then Manny, logical, very clear thinker, as we say, no bullshit, no bullcrap, straight to the point. As I said, clear, logical thinker, but also, and then all three of them completely open to taking, you know, one is follow your gut, and when we can do, and we do, you know, do all the research in the world, but never underestimate how important it is to have a gut feeling about something and really think about that, because it is important that initial, you know, split second reaction you have to something is often correct. Sometimes needs to be verified, but they are not afraid to take risks and to go for big bites of the apple. And I think so all together, that those three, and I've never really probably said that or thought about it, but those three have probably had the most impact on me as a person in the toy industry, but also you know, my sort of development outside of that.
That's wonderful. And I think it really does speak to, as you describe it, the recipe for a great toy company, which is gut creativity, taking risks, and then somebody who's just being rational and reasonable underpinning all of that. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you got to have the, you know, and often the four of us at different times and others who are obviously very important to the business often disagree. So there's, you know, it's a family company, and there's family disputes and arguments constantly. So there's constant disagreements because there's such different ways of approaching situations and projects and brands. But in the end, everyone aligns and gets on the same page, and we move forward.
Well, that's wonderful, and it's wonderful to see how you've been moving forward. I as you know, I'm a big fan of your company and the creativity and the wow factor. When I get to see things early on, and I go, wow, you know, I feel like a 5-year-old again. So Joost Paulus, Chief Product Officer for Moose Toys, thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
You're awesome, Chris. Anytime.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll continue to tune in, and we look forward to hearing from you about what you'd like to hear about in the time ahead. I'm Chris Byrne, and this is the Playground Podcast.